So now she's moved to West London. So now she's living in Rands Park. It's great to have you. It's a blessing to share the word this morning. And as we are preparing to fast together and pray with all of the Shofar family across the world, also now in Utrecht. So, what a blessing. I must say, you know, fasting is not great. It's not always easy. It's always a blessing, but it's not always easy. But it's amazing to, for me, it's such a blessing to know there's other people suffering with me. No, how cool is it that we can put our faith and our prayers and add together to thousands of others across our church family that are doing the same at this time. And what a blessing. You guys managing. All right. So I want to play a video clip from Pastor Fred, which is around the fast. So I'm going to have to be quick because it's quite a long one. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place, Lord. What an absolute, unfathomable blessing, Lord, and privilege, God, to be able to know you and to be in your presence, God. To know that through the blood of your Son, you've made it possible for us to draw near to you without fear, God, without trepidation, Lord, without shame, without guilt, Lord, that we can boldly draw near as sons and daughters, God. And that's what we do this morning. We draw near, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us. We thank you that you are our teacher. We open our hearts, Lord, that you'd come and lead us into all truth, Lord. We thank you for your word that is alive this morning, God. Thank you for your power here, Lord, to transform, Lord, to change us, for your power at work in and through us, Lord, as your kingdom comes, as you build your church, Lord. We thank you, God. And we humbly bow before you, say, Lord, have your way. We are the clay, Lord. Be the potter this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. About his mandate for us, about his will for us here, about what would he want us to do? We look at the next couple of months and we reconnect with the heart of God as a body together. So it's a precious time. It's a time where we pray through what God has already said, but we also specifically join together in a very focused way to incline our ear to what God would say to us. And again, what makes it special is because we're doing it together as a movement. But at a time like this, we're doing a few things. But what we're doing is we're humbling ourselves, saying, "Lord, we don't know that. We don't see the whole picture. We don't know it all. We see in part. We have limited revelation in this dispensation. But we trust and we look to you to show us what you have prepared, and we look to you to show us where you're taking us, what you're calling us to do now, what you have prepared for us." Good. Now just press that one in the corner if you can see it. It's very dim. That's on. Sorry, guys. Okay. Right. So we spend time to pray together, to fast, and we're saying to God, Lord, whatever your will is, that's what we want to do. Whatever you have prepared for us, that's what we'll be doing with. Let your will be done and not our will. And I find it so healthy to do this regularly, because often there are things that we find that maybe have been in the will of God a couple of years ago, but we don't want to get stuck in some place that we find comfortable and we get used to, and God has already moved on, and we missed it. Amen? And sadly, if you do look across the bigger body of Christ, we do see that sometimes. We see parts of the body where it feels like they've gotten stuck in an area which was amazing and was of God and was right for a season, but it's as if sometimes we as a body, we get stuck there. So we don't want to do that. So that's why it's important for us to pray. And it's important, well, even if you can't join the corporate prayer time for us, I would really appreciate if you do hear any words or scripture to send it on so we can send it on to the leadership as well, but just for us locally, but also globally. Okay. Just send those visions and dreams and pictures and scriptures, send them on. Okay. Right. What is at the crux of who we are as a body? Now, I have to be quicker than this. But it's also a part of the question that is, why are we here? Why are we as a body here? Why is the body of Christ here? So we're looking at the bigger picture this morning. And I read from Hebrews 12, where Apostle Paul writes about this. The side that's cut off, it's not their fault at the back, so just have grace on the guy. It's something about the projector. From verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he speaks about a race that is set before us, a course, a path, something with an end destination, an end finish line, a goal. All right, so that's the picture he paints. And then I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 9 as well, where he also refers to that. He says, do you not know that those who run a race all run, from verse 24, all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So again, he points a picture of a race that is being run, and he says that there's a prize at the end. And athletes don't run just randomly. They run to achieve something. We run to achieve the goal, to obtain the prize, to get to the finish line. It is interesting. It's funny to see children sometimes when they're really small and they don't get the whole running a race thing. We were at a birthday party yesterday, and Abby gets it, and he does, but David's not there yet. He likes running around, but he's not so focused on the finish line. He'll just run in his own direction, or he'll end up somewhere else doing his, you know, he figures out he's got a better idea of what needs to happen. But when you're an athlete, when you're running a race, when you don't want to add extra bits to your course. You know, you want to get there sooner. You want to stick to the specific route. You don't want to go longer, but you also don't want to go shorter, because then you get disqualified. So you want to stick to the exact course, and you want to end up at the right finish line, and you want to obtain the prize, right? Let's quickly look at 2 Timothy 4 as well, 6 and 7. And this is interesting, because this is a couple of years later. This is at the end of Paul's, coming to the end of his life and his ministry. And he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, pouring himself into, you know, everything he's got into ministry, into God's calling. And he says, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. How powerful is that? That somebody that was once in a position where he actually actively killed and persecuted and hunted down Christians and was absolutely transformed by the power of the cross is now at a point where he can say, I know I'm close. I'm going to die soon. But he is confident that he has finished the race that God has set before him. For him to have a confidence like that, surely he must have had a very clear understanding of what the course was. Amen? and where the finish line was. And what was that thing that God would want him to do right at the end type of thing. But what encourages me, what challenges me at the same time is that he had absolute clarity of the course. And he can confidently say, I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. So if we think of ourselves, if we think of ourselves as individuals, but also as part of a body, what is this course? What is the race? What is the finish line? What is the place? What is the place that we're trying to aim at? What is the goal? And what is the end destination? I know, you know, many of us here are, you know, we've got in different phases of life, but in different ways, we have many things that you know, cry for our attention, cry for our faith and our time. But how often do we just get so stuck in all of that we lose sight of that end goal? I don't know if you've done orienteering before. It's that not orienteering in the way of, you know, where you get a bunch of instructions and coordinates and then you have to find your way. There is not a marked route. It's also sometimes a race, but there's no marked route. It can get quite complicated. But you're given instructions and coordinates and then a map and you have to find the route and go to specific checkpoints. Now, those ones, especially if you're using if you have a landmark and you going to a certain place, you need to keep your eye on the landmark. And because if you get so busy kind of cutting through the undergrowth or whatever, or kind of bush bashing in some terrains, that it's easy to lose track and to go off on a tangent because of the terrain, and you lose sight of the landmark that you're actually pursuing. And it's the same with us spiritually. There are opportunities and challenges that can distract us from that end goal. Okay, now. So Paul speaks of an athlete, right? An athlete preparing himself, fighting, training, disciplining his body, and that sometimes is very elaborate affair. You know, somebody like Wade is an athlete. There's lots of preparation happening. You know, lots of training happening, and then he's finishing his season here in the UK, and then he's starting a season in the summer on the other side of the world again in South Africa. But there's a lot of discipline that goes into it, and somebody like Alistair can tell you that before he goes on a race, there's lots of preparation that's happening. You know, he has to have his gear right, and he has to have the right shoes for the right terrain. It's all there. And in the same way, we are actually able to prepare ourselves for the race. We are able to equip ourselves, and God has equipped us, and he has given us what we need for the race and what we need to get to the finish line. Actually, Scripture says that we have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness in Christ. And so already been poured out everything we need for this race. Let's just skip the next one. I just want to get to the Matthew 24. Oh, it's cut off again. So let's see what lies at the end. Okay, there's a few things that lie at the end here. And besides, let's look at Matthew 24. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And then he gives, for me, the only indication, one of the only indications in the Scripture of when Jesus is coming back. And he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And we see that is one of the indications. And let's go back to Ephesians 5. And the end goal that we're aiming for, the big party at the end, the big celebration, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't that exciting? We haven't been to a wedding in a long time, but I love weddings. Eh? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be the best wedding celebration you've ever seen and you've ever experienced. It's going to be nothing like nothing we've experienced. The biggest party that the universe has seen. And That lies at the end of the road, the marriage supper of the Lamb. The time where Christ is reunited with his bride, the body of Christ. And what's happening now is that Christ is preparing his bride. So there are two things that are happening. Christ is preparing his bride. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So there's two things happening. There's the bridegroom, Christ, that is preparing his bride. But there's also us recognizing that God, we are not waiting for God. Sometimes we get that feeling, right? You know, like the apostles in the beginning, the early church, they would greet each other with the word Maranatha, Jesus, the Lord Jesus come. Like they were expecting him to come any moment. And it's as if we've settled sometimes into a thing with, yeah, you know what, Jesus is coming back, but it's as if we are kind of just, we're just hanging in there and we're waiting, hanging, you know, just surviving. But it's a wrong attitude, because Christ is waiting for us. He's preparing us, and he's going through us, the body, with the ride for with that process. And at the same time, he's waiting for us to finish the work so that he can come. Amen? And to be honest, when we were out there in the Himalayas, working with those pastors that are reaching out to the unreached tribes, it felt to me like this feels like the front line. Because these guys are reaching out to people that have never heard the name of Jesus. And it felt to me like this is where at least some of our resources should be going, because this is advancing the day with Christ of Christ's return. Because everybody needs to hear. And everybody needs to have an opportunity, and then the end will come. Amen? Exciting times. And I want to encourage you, if you any way want to get involved, please contact me. But it feel personally, even I want to invest in that, because it's what a privilege to be in some way partnering with guys that are really at the front line, where the people have never heard the name of Christ. Okay, before I get distracted, so two things are happening there: the bride is being prepared, and the word is going out. But what a blessing to come and stand still again over the next few days to recognize this is why we're here. We are being sanctified as a bride. We are being prepared, but we're also running with the Great Commission. We're also running with the gospel. We're also here as God is preparing, as God is sanctifying. We are here to see every soul hear the word, and in our community, to see salvation come to our community, to see salvation come to our nation. Okay, let's go one back to Ephesians 1:19-22. Okay, to hurry. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So he compares us to, in one part, he compares us to the body, a body with fingers and toes and things up. And then he also compares us to a living stone and being built as a building. Okay, Pastor Fred is going to refer to this in the clip, so I won't go more into that. But in terms of us being a body, now, what a pertinent picture. Because each of us have different functions, each of us have different strengths and operate in slightly different ways, unique and beautiful ways. But yet, we have the same blood in us, the same breath in us, the same spirit. Yet, the body cannot operate unless we are all going in the same direction. If my one arm was going in that direction and my other arm was going in that direction, there would be problems. Do you agree? Somewhere there was going to be a challenge. So although there are different things happening, the body is going in this in one direction. At one, and if we again take that into the race analogy, if the body is moving together in the same direction, everything is doing its part to be able to get to the finish line. The same blood, the same breath. Amen. And we're going to the, in the same direction. And that's why we're standing together, is to reconnect with that. What is it that God has laid before us? What is the race? What is it for us here right now in this area, in this nation? Okay, so I want to show you this clip. It is a couple of minutes, guys. We won't show the whole thing. But let's see, hear what Pastor Fred has to say. For those that haven't met him, he's our senior pastor. And let's hear what he has to say. I want to encourage us to have the boldness to ask those questions that we know will God is ready to answer. Lord, where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to build? Where do you want me to reach out? Who around me have you? Whose heart have you prepared? Basically, as we've been talking, the place of partnering with him in what he's already doing. What a privilege and what a blessing and what an exciting journey for us. Now, very briefly, I just want to recap just before we pray. Let's skip Corinthians. We spoke about that. And then let's look at our global vision as reaching nations. Reaching nations and generations through disciple making, through leadership development and church planting. So that's what God has laid on our hearts. It's just a little different way of saying, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. So it's not different to the Great Commission. This is at the absolute core of who we are as a body and what God has called us to do. And then very briefly, just in terms of how what God has been saying to us in the UK specifically, that we are focusing on both on our local neighborhoods, but also on nations. We're looking beyond. We are looking very intently at what God is doing locally. Specifically here, we're investigating ways that we can serve the community better and reach out to the neighborhood, but we're also keeping our eyes on the nations. Amen. We call to care for those that are vulnerable, those are marginalized in our communities and beyond, and we are launching leaders from this platform. Just the redemptive purpose of the UK around how many nations are represented here, how many people are being trained up, and not only in the marketplace, but also spiritually, raising up people that are able to run with what God has called them to do. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I want to encourage you now, you know what we're praying about. Join us. Even if you can't be there physically, join us in prayer over the next 3 days. And let's trust to reconnect with the heart of God, to walk away with a passionate understanding of the course that He has set before us, the race that we are preparing for, that we are running, and to really connect with the heart of God for what He's doing. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have called each of us, Lord. You've brought us from darkness into light, Lord. You've brought us out of the pit, Lord. You've taken us from a place of death and You've brought us into life, God. We thank You, Lord, that we owe You everything, Lord. There's nothing that we have that is not of You or from You, Lord. And what an amazing blessing also, Lord, that You call us to be part, Lord, to partner with You in what You are establishing, Lord, as You're building Your church, as Your kingdom is coming. Thank You, Lord, that it boggles the mind, but You choose to work through us, Lord. You choose to work through humans, God. And we thank You, Lord, that we can have this amazing privilege to partner with You. And this morning, we thank You, Lord, that there's a course that is set before us. There's a race that is set before us. We thank You, Lord, for what lies at the end. We thank You, Lord, that You've already won the victory. And we know that there's a celebration. We know that there's the greatest celebration ever, the marriage supper of the Lamb that it lies ahead, Lord, when Christ will be united with us, His bride, Lord. And we We so have an urgency and expectation and a longing for that day, Lord. But we know that there's so much that has to happen in between, Lord. And as we pray these next few days, Holy Spirit, quicken us, Lord. Show us your will, Father. As we seek your face, Lord, as we dig into your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we trust, Lord, that you direct our steps, Lord. You speak clearly to us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you show us, Lord, how does this that you've called us to do, how does it translate into our lives right now, Father, into my family, into my street, into my workplace. God, we thank you, Lord, that as you speak to us, Lord, thank you that you've given us everything we need. Thank you that you've empowered us by your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, as just those words came beforehand, Lord, that you've given us boldness, Lord, to address the storms, Lord, but you have given us assurance of your presence with us as well, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us orphans, but you've given us your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. I just speak peace into every heart, Lord. We speak peace into every storm. And we thank you, Lord, for a place of peace in these next 3 days to hear your voice, God, to clearly hear. And I thank you as you speak, Lord, as your word is creating in us, Lord, the power also and the empowerment to do your will, Father. Thank you that you've created in us not only to will and to do your good pleasure, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will, not our will, be done, Lord. Let your will be done in this nation, Lord. As we declare over our community that Christ is the only way. There's no other name given amongst men by which you must be saved. We speak that over our nation. We speak the victory of the cross over our nation. We lift up the cross over our nation, over this area. We declare that salvation is found in none other but in Christ. In Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Hallelujah. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have any prayer need this morning, if you want to just respond to those words that came before as well, we'd love to pray with you. But